out and maybe get a chance to see some deer sign that is glowing. Now, this isn't really the time of year when the deer are actively advertising their presence, but when they do, that element, that substance will glow in UV light. So lots of interesting things being discovered right now about animals, and that's just one of the new ones. So if you have a UV flashlight, go out during the rut season of the deer in the fall and shine it around and see if it doesn't come to glow in your neighborhood. And the chickadees and the number of D's, chickadee, dee, 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 would be like, there's a hawk in the neighborhood and you should all be paying attention. So, yeah, the number of D's at the end of their call speaks to the presence of danger. And the more there are, the greater the danger. Six bald eagles out in a field near a chicken barn. Chances are, you know, whenever you get more than one bald eagle in an area at a time, there's usually food involved. There were 23 bald eagles on my lake one year as the ice was going out, and there was food involved. The lake had frozen out, and there were lots of dead fish, and the eagles, all of them, were having a meal. And an opossum sighting, running up an apple tree and grabbing apples, that's a new one for me. I didn't realize that the opossums were out chasing apples, but there you are. We will continue with our student reports following the Best Wishes program coming up in about 45 minutes. But right now, it's time to tell you that this is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
We just heard from Mary from Cass Lake. She said it's 21 below by Webb Lake right now. We're expecting high temperatures today, 2 to 9 above, and overnight, 6 below, 2 to above zero. Time now for a special Up North report.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. 5 years of maternal mortality data in Minnesota shows that 95% of maternal deaths occurring in the state were preventable. The Minnesota Department of Health released its report last week examining deaths between 2017 and 2021. Based on the data from the Maternal Mortality Review Committee, the state's 2021 pregnancy-related mortality ratio was about 34 deaths per 100,000 live births. This is slightly above the national average. Most maternal deaths occurred after childbirth, a trend consistent with national findings. The top five leading causes of death were mental health conditions, including substance use disorders, injury, infection, loss of blood, and diseases of the heart muscle. The report highlights stark racial disparities impacting American Indian and Black parents in Minnesota. The maternal death rate was over 12 times higher than the state rate among American Indians. And it was more than 2 times higher for Black parents. Dr. Brooke Cunningham, the Minnesota Commissioner of Health, says these findings are deeply troubling. The report calls for officials to address a lack of access to care, disconnected care, and a lack of follow-up. The report says there is also a need for additional emotional, physical, and mental health supports before and after pregnancy. An Aiken County man is free after 26 years behind bars. 63-year-old Brian Pippett was released from prison earlier this month. His sentence was commuted by the Minnesota Pardon Board in September. Commutation is a reduction in sentencing, whereas exoneration is a reversal of a guilty sentence. Pippett was convicted of first-degree murder in 2001. He was accused of being part of the 1998 killing of Evelyn Malin, a beloved 84-year-old McGregor storekeeper. The Minnesota Clemency Review Commission recommended the commutation in April, emphasizing there was compelling proof of Pippett's innocence. In 2024, the Attorney General's office recommended Pippett be exonerated based on the insurmountable, reasonable doubt of his guilt. The Brainerd Dispatch reports Pippett will continue to fight to clear his name. A new program aimed at improving medical response times in rural areas launched in northern St. Louis County on Monday. Sprint Medic is a pilot program funded through the Rural Emergency Medical Services Aid Package approved by the state legislature in 2024. Paramedics from the Virginia Fire Department will serve as Sprint Medics. One will be positioned in the Tower area and the other in the Cook, Orr, and Boys Fort area. Each Sprint Medic will drive an SUV equipped with advanced life support equipment, such as cardiac monitors, ventilators, and certain medications. Their role will be to roam the service area, ready to respond to emergency calls immediately, while the partnering primary ambulance service travels to the scene in an ambulance. The Sprint Medic also would be able to climb into the responding ambulance to continue providing care. In a news release, Virginia's Deputy Fire Chief Eric Johnson says the department's participation in the program will not affect city services and all costs are covered by the state. A total of $2.7 million was allocated to fund the Sprint Medic pilot program through June of 2027. The DNR is moving forward with plans to reduce the statewide walleye possession limit from 6 to 4. If approved, the move would mark the first update to the limit since 1956. The agency has thrown around the idea for years and gathered feedback on it last summer. The 4-fish limit would go into effect March 1st, 2027. The current limit of only one walleye over 20 inches would remain in place. The formal comment period for the proposed rule change is open until March 5th. Find more details on the change and how to comment at KAXE.org. Two of Minnesota's top college teams will square off in the annual U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame Museum Women's Face-Off Classic at Yanmar Arena in Grand Rapids. The game is set for Saturday, January 31st, and will feature Minnesota State University and Bemidji State University. The Beavers and Mavericks will battle for the Hall of Fame Game Trophy, which will be presented by Babbitt native Buzz Schneider, a member of the 1980 U.S. Men's Olympic Hockey gold medal winning team. A portion of the proceeds will go toward the Foster Hope Scholarship Fund, a Grand Rapids-based charity awarding scholarships to local foster children. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River, dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
Coming up, we'll have more news from National Public Radio at 7:07. I'm Heidi Holton. That's John Latimer. Thanks for tuning in. We've got more nature for you, even in the cold and even in the wind chill advisory, cold weather advisory that's out there until noon from the National Weather Service, 25 to 40 below zero, wind chills, not temperatures for today.
We received support from Dragonfly Coffee, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery and offering espresso, bubble tea, and more. Empowering inclusion and community through employment. Special orders available and more at drinkdragonfly.com.
I have to stop myself from saying windshields, too, for some reason. It's hard to say windshields.
I have driven cars without windshields. I don't recommend it,
right, especially
in the wintertime. The particular car that I was driving had been in an accident, and the front windshield had been broken out, and I wanted to get it to my house so I could pirate parts off of it, since I had a car of the same make and model. And I remember driving down the river road and little bits of glass coming up out of the...
Oh, boy.
And hitting me in the face, as well as plenty of cold air. So I was driving with a glove in front of my face, one hand on the steering wheel and one hand over my lower half of my face to protect it from the cold and glass.
I had my back window break, rock hit it. Hmm. And so I had to drive it in to the body shop. And the whole way there, I could just hear glass crumbling in the back of my car. It was just the ickiest sound, you know. I knew it wasn't going to fly to me probably, but it was just, I didn't expect that. I thought it would kind of stay together a little bit.
Nope.
That rock got it. Coming up, we've got more news from local news that we just heard to national to transatlantic news. European leaders are meeting today for an emergency summit for an official response to President Trump's pursuit of Greenland. So stay tuned for that story.
Support for KAXE comes from Lady Sippers N.A. Bottle Shop, located in downtown Deer River, Itasca County's only N.A. bottle shop, offering ready-to-drink options, including craft cocktails, gifts, and more. Info available at ladysippers.com.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. European leaders are using both threats and flattery, trying to stop President Trump from pursuing Greenland, or at least stop him from punishing them with tariffs for those attempts. Trump has been sharing leaders' private messages to him about Greenland on his Truth Social. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Democratic Senator Chris Coons, who's in Davos, where many of those leaders are meeting. He's also just wrapped up a congressional visit to Denmark about Greenland. But we're going to start with the latest from NPR's Eleanor Beardsley in Paris. Eleanor, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle.
So Trump threatened tariffs over the weekend against eight European countries who supported Greenland, and there have been more developments. So bring us up to date.
Well, yeah, overnight here, Trump shared private messages from French President Emmanuel Macron, which the Elysee has confirmed this morning are genuine, and NATO head Mark Rutte. Both men compliment Trump on all the good things he's accomplished, but basically say, hey, what's going on with Greenland? Let's work this out. And Macron invites Trump to a dinner and a mini G7 summit on Thursday in Paris after Davos to do so. But we're also seeing an avalanche of condemnation coming from every corner of Europe and unity among Europeans over Trump's threats of 10% tariffs on those eight NATO nations, European NATO nations, by February 1st if they try to impede his Greenland takeover. You know, yesterday the finance ministers of Germany and France spoke to the media. They were in Brussels for an urgent meeting. And here is French finance minister Roland Lescure.
I think we both agree we're living through uncharted territories. We've never seen this before. An ally, a friend of 250 years, is considering using tariffs as a geopolitical weapon.
You can kind of hear the outrage there. So how is Europe planning to push back?
Well, the EU is a market of 450 million consumers, and they plan to use that power of that market, said EU parliamentarian Nathalie Loiseau, who I spoke with this morning. Loiseau said the parliament will not ratify as planned the US-EU trade deal negotiated last summer, where there were zero tariffs on US products. She said the EU is ready to trigger $100 billion worth of tariffs on US imports if Trump continues. Here she is.
He doesn't use the Atlantic Alliance to make us stronger against adversaries like Russia. He uses the alliance to try to pressure us in order to grab territory in Europe. This is unprecedented and, of course, unacceptable.
Is the idea for Europe to fully break with the U.S.?
Well, some Europeans seem ready to face that, even if they certainly hope not. So as much as they talk tough, they are still trying to make it work with Trump. You know, French President Emmanuel Macron called Trump his friend in one of those messages Trump shared on Truth Social. And NATO chief Mark Rutte flattered Trump, saying he couldn't wait to see him in Davos, Switzerland this week. Even the British have been targeted by Trump. Their special relationship and those royal visits they offered Trump have not spared them. Let's listen to British MP Ed Davies speaking in Parliament yesterday. He said Britain must act in solidarity with its European allies to counter Trump.
President Trump is acting like an international gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
Threatening to trample over the sovereignty of an ally, threatening the end of NATO altogether, and now threatening to hit our country and seven European allies with outrageous, damaging tariffs unless he gets his hands on Greenland.
So, you know, Britain voted Brexit, you know, just a few years ago, but now they are getting closer and closer to Europe. A few hours ago, President Trump posted a meme of him raising an American flag on Greenland alongside Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Vice President J.D. Vance.
So doubling down, at least,
yeah, exactly.
On Truth Social. That is NPR's Eleanor Beardsley. Eleanor, thank you.
You're welcome, Michelle.
We have reached Senator Chris Coons in Davos, Switzerland. He went there for the World Economic Forum after leading a bipartisan congressional delegation to Copenhagen, Denmark. Senator, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be on with you.
How, if at all, do you propose to change the discussion here?
Well, look, first is to bring back home some of the reality, the truth on the ground that our bipartisan delegation heard over 2 days of meetings in Denmark. We met with both Danish and Greenlandic leaders, prime minister, foreign minister, defense minister, parliamentarians, business leaders. And in response to a few simple questions, they said, there is no threat to Greenland now from Russia and from China. The only threat is from us. They would welcome us investing in and partnering in more Arctic security, and they would welcome us working with them to develop Greenland's resources. We have a close 225-year-old alliance and partnership with Denmark. Everything that Trump wants to achieve in Greenland, we can achieve by just asking. Trying to seize Greenland through threats of force or threats of tariffs is risking blowing up the NATO alliance or a tariff trade war with the EU. Trump is bluntly risking everything for nothing.
Well, let's talk about that. The president, in an interview with the New York Times some days back, said that it was psychologically important to him to actually own the territory. Just getting the substance of everything the United States wants is not enough for him. Psychologically important to own it as a real estate guy. What do you make of that?
Frankly, that's nuts. The idea that his psychological well-being ought to be the basis for trying to acquire a territory that is mostly rock and ice. It's three times the size of Texas, but incredibly remote with a very harsh environment. We have one military base there now that's critical to our security. Forcing its acquisition risk blowing up the NATO security treaty that has kept the peace in Europe and protected the United States for 75 years. The Danes are alarmed and outraged. One of the hardest moments of our bipartisan visit to Denmark was when we laid a wreath at the memorial to the Danes who served and fought and died alongside Americans in Afghanistan and Iraq. We should not risk ending these critical partnerships and alliances over nothing more than a piece on Donald Trump's mental risk board.
I want to ask how much Congress can really do about this, though. I realize you were part of a bipartisan delegation that visited Denmark. Lisa Murkowski was with you. Tom Tillis of North Carolina was with you. And yet, if we look at congressional actions over the past year, it is not hard to see a pattern unfolding. Some Republicans express some concern, but never quite enough to get to 51 to reject whatever it is the president wants. Democrats express grave concern, as you were doing, and ultimately Congress does nothing, and taxpayers who pay for Congress get nothing whatsoever from your advice. Do you think it may work out that way this time?
Look, my hope is that President Trump will walk this back when he confronts European leaders, both elected and economic, the CEOs who are here at this meeting, the world leaders who are here at this meeting, who are saying to him there are huge costs to us if he goes ahead. And there's a series of bills that have been introduced in both the House and Senate that would overturn Trump's tariff authority that he's using to threaten a NATO ally or that would bring up a war powers resolution. But Steve, I understand why folks are skeptical, given that far too few of my Republican colleagues so far have stepped up in moments like this. But this one calls for us to act and act clearly in America's best interests.
Is this another occasion where you would say that your Republican colleagues privately believe the president is on the wrong track, but publicly are unwilling to stand against him?
Well, not just my colleagues. 75% of Americans think this is not the right thing to do. Delawareans call and ask me all the time about health care costs, housing costs, the cost of daily living. They'd like to see members of Congress and our president focus less on foreign adventures and more focused on dealing with the issues that they're concerned about day in and day out.
Just very briefly, would you agree that there is a major national security interest in Greenland? We've got about 20 seconds for the United States.
We can meet every national security interest in Greenland by partnering with Denmark. They would welcome it with open arms, and that's the best way to do it.
Senator Chris Coons of Delaware is at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Senator, sounds like you're in a cafe. Would you order me an Americano while you're there?
Yes, I will. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much.
It's Morning Edition here on People Powered KAXE from National Public Radio. Up next, we'll get as local can be. It'll be our phenology report with our very own John Latimer at 7:19. Thanks for being here today. We did just get a beautiful photo from Noah in Britt. He texted 218-326-1234. Here's a shot of the Northern Lights this morning. Good morning, Heidi and John. What a beautiful photo. We were having some conversation. You're right. It's a sauna, no doubt. I said possible outhouse, but it was a little too fancy, I think, for an outhouse. Beautiful, beautiful shot of Northern Lights. Mm. We'd love to hear from you. Did you see them this morning as John described them as a curtain as he drove in to town, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. They're much more spectacular in Noah's shot. I didn't stop and get out and take a picture, which probably would have heightened the the colors, because I didn't get out because it was 20 below zero, and I thought I would rather just enjoy them through the window of the car, and they'll remind me that I live in an area where these things can happen, and when they do, I like to at least make note of them and appreciate them.
Coming up, we'll have John's weekly report. Looking at the temperatures right now, we're seeing 14 below in Grand Rapids, 11 below in Brainerd and in Hibbing and in Aiken. Bemidji reporting 15 below zero, 20 below and in Barris right now. Floodwood at 16 below and Baudette also at 16 below. Clear across the region.
Support for KAXE comes from Northern Lights Nordic Ski Club, a member-supported nonprofit whose mission is to promote cross-country skiing as a healthy family activity. With volunteers who groom and maintain area trails, membership info, trail maps, and more are available at northernlightsnordic.org. And we receive support from Edward Jones Financial Advisor Christina Gallas, helping individuals and business owners reach their financial goals. More information at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
You know, I said it was clear across the region. That is not what what I'm seeing. There's actually haze right now in the Brainerd area and fair skies in some of the places. But
haze, I wonder if it's more of a salting out of the atmosphere. When you get really cold, the moisture in the air will just freeze, and you'll have the sky will be full of diamonds when the sun is shining. It's always kind of exciting when that happens, and who knows, maybe this morning. These are things you don't see in Florida, trust me.
Coming up, Phenology.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are coming into the coldest time of the year. We've had our winter solstice back in November or December, the 21st or 2nd. Of course, that is the shortest day of the year. And since then, the days have gotten progressively longer. The kids over in Duluth noted that in the last week, we've picked up 12 minutes of daylight in 7 days. So nice increase. And of course, that'll continue up until, well, it'll continue and accelerate up until Candlemas Day, which is Groundhog's Day, February 2nd. That's the halfway point between the solstice and the equinox. And at that point, we'll be riding that sine wave down the steepest part, and we will be gaining probably 3 minutes a day of daylight around the second or third day in February. February 2nd February 2nd, 1996. Was our coldest recorded day temperature, coldest recorded low temperature in Minnesota history. And that was a minus 60 at Tower and at Embarrass. And so this is a cold time of year. I had minus 21 this morning at 5 o'clock, probably down to minus 23 or 24 by now. Coldest time of the day typically is right at sunrise, so it'll be right around 8 o'clock this morning that we'll reach our lowest temperatures, and then we'll begin to climb back up, though not very far. It's not going to be very warm. We're likely to see some pretty cold temperatures over the next few days, but I don't think we're going to approach minus 60. A year ago today, I had my first sub-20, minus 20 day. Absolutely 1 year ago today, I had minus 21 on the morning of January 20th, 2025. And this year, same day, same time, first temperature greater than minus 20. I had minus 20 back in December. One day, and now I've had a second day of minus 20 or greater. The coldest temperature ever that I ever recorded on this date was in 1994 when it was minus 38 degrees. So I suspect that probably 96 I had a colder temperature, but not on the 20th of January. Sure we had probably minus, I think I had minus 46 or minus 48 that day. It was cold. Yeah. Also occurring on this day in a year ago, a great gray owl was sighted in the Grand Rapids area. Goldfinches were sighted. Gray jays, evening and pine grosbeaks, and snow buntings have all been seen on the 20th of January. And in 2017, I had a porcupine that was fairly active this time of year. Now, the porcupines don't hibernate. They have usually a shallow den. The ones I found are never very deep, and they're always, always just absolutely jam-packed with their scat. They poop where they sleep. And, man, it can be a mess in there. Not that I'd crawl in to find out, but looking in from the openings that I have seen, lots of scat and sometimes a porcupine, sometimes not. But this time of year, typically they're going to be climbing up not very far. The one that I found on the in 2017 was chewing on the base of a maple tree. He walked about 100 yards from where he was spending the winter, and I could follow his track. He had a nice trail beat down in the snow, and he would walk over to these maples, and he would gnaw at the bark on the bottom. Typically, in the springtime, the porcupines do chew the bark off of maple trees, and I suspect that they're probably looking for a little of that sugar that's going to be under there that will eventually yield itself to the sap. And, of course, that's a few months out yet. It's an unusual year when sap gathering starts in February. But the porcupines don't seem to have to wait. They just go ahead and eat the bark, and I imagine there's a little sugar in the bark as well. So porcupines are going to be out there playing around with that stuff. Signs of spring from this past week. Two major signs. One, I heard my first woodpeckers drumming. And this time of year, this one happened to be a downy. But this time of year, the woodpeckers begin to work to establish territory. And they do that by drumming. They find a tree with a lot of resonance, and they pound on it, and they pound rapidly, up to 13 times a second. So they're hammering pretty quickly there. And as I've described in the past, from an article that I read about woodpeckers in Natural History magazine, the little downy woodpecker that was hammering out these staccato little drum beats is taking a breath and grunting each time that it drives its beak forward to make that tap. And it's a coordinated effort that starts in the neck and goes to the shoulders and the back and then down to the hips and to the feet and the tail. And it's just, it's like, as I say, coordinated. It's a sort of a firing that starts with the neck and ends in the tail. And the bird tenses these muscles in sequence and brings its head forward and strikes the tree and then comes back. While it's striking the tree, it grunts and then it takes a breath in and then it comes back and strikes the tree and grunts and does this 13 times every second. And the drumming that I am hearing is lasting, oh, 3 or 4 seconds. It's a short period, rapid staccato beats, and then quiet. Looking through my records, I found that the average date for first drumming is around the 23rd of January. The earliest I ever heard him drumming was on December 12th. And that would have been the, well, that was in 2022, so that would have been the winter of 22-23. And then again in 16, I heard them on the 26th of December. Otherwise, for the most part, it's generally in mid to late January, sometimes bleeding into February. 2017, on the 27th of February and 2018 on the 22nd of February. So it can take a while. And sometimes it's just a matter of being there. You know, if you're standing there, it's that old, if a tree falls in the forest, if you're standing there and you hear them drumming, then yeah, you've heard them drumming. But if you're not there and they're drumming, well, you have no way of knowing that. So I have no way of being assured that these are the first, but these are the first that I've noted. So that's kind of how that works out. The second sign of spring that is sort of worth noting is that I saw that the aspen down by my mailbox, which is an early budding tree, has broken bud. And so I went back in the last 10 years and looked at the dates on that. And it was in 2016. It was the 26th of February, the 18th of February in 17, the 26th of January in 18, the 18th of February in 19, the 24th of February in 20, the 25th of February in 21, the 29th of January in 22, the 3rd of January in 23, and in 24, the first, those buds were open on November 20th, 2023, which would have been open buds for the winter spring of 2024. In 2025, 30th of January, and this year, the 19th of January. So kind of flirts around with mid to late January when these things bud. But this particular tree is just one that's early. Not all aspens are breaking flower bud right now. If you're familiar with the pussy willow, the aspen does essentially the same thing. It's got a fuzzy, furry catkin of a flower, and the males are usually the first ones to break open. And you'll see, if you walk up to an aspen, you'll see this bronze bud case. And then at the tip of that, you'll see this kind of grayish white fur that is right there at the edge of that. My own experience watching these things is that they may break bud this time of year, but they won't begin to develop any kind of a flower until April, which is this same time as all the rest of the aspens. Many of the aspens won't break bud until early April, and they'll still get it done. It just, this particular tree happens to have a kind of an early habit about it. So a couple of signs that, you know, winter is breaking its grip. A couple of things from walking around in the last few days. Still not very many birch seeds. I don't think it was a very good year for birch flowers this past year. Maybe where you are, you're seeing something different. But around my house, there are usually this time of year, every time it snows, there are like fresh birch seeds on top of the snow. And I'm not seeing any this year. And part of that might be the fact that there aren't many birch flowers. The other part of it might be that there aren't many pine siskins and red poles up there sort of eating them, which is one of the ways that they get dispersed. Checking on the 19th, I had 10.5 inches of snow in my front yard. I melted it down. It came out to 1.95 inches of water. So almost 2 inches of water in the snow column right now. Mentioned the trembling aspen, the downy woodpecker calling. Around the feeder, hairy, downy, red-bellied, and pileated woodpeckers. Also red and white-breasted nuthatches, black-capped chickadees, blue jays. I have seen, though not at my house, common ravens, American crows, I've heard. Cottontail rabbits are still fairly common. Red squirrels are out eating. I had a gray squirrel in my yard eating. We've talked about the competition between the gray squirrel and the red squirrel. And we know that the red squirrels are much more aggressive because they have hidden food caches. And the gray squirrels tend to just go and eat when they are hungry. And they come to my feeder and help themselves to some sunflower seeds that usually the downy and hairy woodpeckers have spread around, because my feeder, if they're not going to the suet, they get up in the seed pile and they flip their heads back and forth, left and right, and they scatter seeds everywhere. And at first I thought they were looking for a particular seed, but what I realized they're doing is they're searching for the nut, the meat of the seed without the seed coating on it, so that they don't have to hack their way in. They're sifting through the pile looking for those little unshelled meats. And in doing so, they kick a lot of seeds off the edge, which makes the squirrels happy because then they get a chance to eat a little bit too, and the rabbits as well. Sumac still has berries on it at my house. Nothing happening with the sumac, which is normal for this time of year. And it was a week ago that the great horned owls came in and took out one of my rabbits, but the other rabbits are doing just fine. And I'm hoping that the great horned owl will have a continued hunger for rabbit now that he's tasted one. And I have no dog in that fight, but, you know, I'm happy to see the great horned owl be successful. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have observations, comments, or questions you'd like to share, please get in touch with us. I'd love to hear from you.
You can catch our Phenology reports at our website, kaxe.org, and tune in for the Season Watch podcast. You can catch it on podcast platforms, but also on the air on Saturdays and Sundays here on KAXE.
You know, all those comments about the woodpeckers talking on the Phenology Show. Coming up later this morning in the 8 o'clock hour, well, about an hour from now, we're going to be talking with Mark Jacobs and Mike North. Mike is a DNR wildlife guy over in Brainerd, and we're going to talk about woodpeckers, cavity nesters, and all of that coming up later on this morning, so stay tuned for that.
And then at 9 o'clock, it's Malachi Coons with Headwaters. 1 o'clock today after the World Cafe, Susan Lick is our host for On the River. And tonight at 7, volunteer Sarah is your host.
We receive support from Rapids Brewing Company, a place for gathering and community featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com.
We got a text in from Beth from Angora, Palo this morning, 26 below zero.
Yeah, thanks, Beth.
And Noah in Britt, he let us know that it was indeed his bathhouse. We were looking at the beautiful Aurora photo that he took this morning, the Northern Lights. We'd love to hear from you. Did you see them? You can text us 218-326-1234. Tell us the temperature where you are.
I got a note from Jeff, and this is kind of interesting. He said, good morning, John. My wife and I listen, and we really enjoy the program. During our travels, we stopped at a pistachio farm in New Mexico, where we found big bags of pistachio fines. I mix it with birdseed, and the birds love it. We highly recommend it if you're traveling and have the opportunity to pick some up. It's very inexpensive. So pistachio fines, those would be, you know, the broken parts.
Right.
And, thanks for that note. I would love to be in New Mexico and pick up a bag of pistachio fines. It's like visiting with folks, and they know I have a dog, so they send home, you know, food from their leftovers and say, hey, take these home and feed them to your dog. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll feed it to the dog after I go through it. It might be the same with the pistachio finds. I might find myself munching on some. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Always nice to hear from you folks that are out there listening and getting those little tips. I hope some of you can actually get through to New Mexico and grab some of those pistachio finds. We receive support from Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com.
The Saturday Deep Portage Learning Center in Hackensack has their annual winter rendezvous. You can enjoy a day of outdoor winter activities like axe throwing, snow snakes, and more. Registration at 9, games until 2, and then a chili feed at noon. Find more info at deep-portage.org.
We receive support from the Timberlake Lodge and Hotel in Grand Rapids. On-site amenities include a restaurant with a full bar and the Grand Splash pool area with a water slide and hot tub. Further details are available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com.
We'll have Tornado Bob talking weather after 8 o'clock. We do have a cold weather advisory in effect for northern Minnesota with wind chills 25 to 40 below zero. That's until noon. We're expecting temperatures today 2 to 9 above and overnight lows 6 below to 2 above. And by tomorrow, Wednesday, 11 to 19 during the day with blustery southwest winds up to 20. Evening lows 5 below to 16 below zero.
We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industry since 1923. Learn more about the vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
It's time for our best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors a happy birthday and happy anniversary. Today is January 20th.
And we are celebrating the birthday of Jeff Wiebe, who is 71 today. Jeff lives in Hines. And Gary Brosty is having a birthday today. Gary is in Bemidji. Matt Copeland is having a birthday in Grand Rapids. And Layla Davis is 49 today in Breezy Point. So if you have a birthday or anniversary to share, you can text us at 218-326-1234.
My hometown's a few short years from burning down to the ground. So I drive up for an ice cream cone from the soft serve joint before it's all gone.
so thick and the news is so bleak and the richest in the history of man keep talking about space like it's the promised land while records break and waters rise and we're hunted by the hands of time cause wildfire season's here again each year it's harder to pretend
Joey Riccio with the song called Wildfire Season. This is the Tuesday Morning Show. It's People Powered KAXE. Thanks for being here. We begin 2026. Excited because it's our 50th year.
Yeah.
Coming up in April will be the actual anniversary, but we'll be celebrating all year with lots of things going on. We just heard from our friends, the Plinskys. They say hello from Texas, sending warm wishes to our radio family, enjoying the Phenology Show wherever we are. And he sent us the snapshot of the temperature there, 57 degrees right now. Well, Ron, enjoy.
Where are they in Texas? Doesn't say.
Rockport.
Rockport. Oh, down near the ocean. Mm. I think that's... over by Galveston?
Okay.
Not sure.
High 66 there today, so.
Mm-hmm. I remember spending a February on the coast of Texas down near Galveston, Corpus Christi area. Windy. Just constant wind. Huh. Just blowing in off the ocean all day long. And not particularly warm. I mean, warm for Texas, warm for Minnesota.
Yeah.
But not, you know, like not going to be out on the beach in a swimming suit. Definitely not going to be there. Get sandblasted.
Expecting the clouds to increase during the day today with highs 2 to 9 above zero across the region. Lows overnight 6 below to 2 above. Slight chance of snow. Southwest winds around 5. Cloudy tomorrow. We do have a chance of snow. Highs 10 to 19 degrees above with blustery southwest winds up to 20. Evening lows tomorrow night 5 below to 16 below. And by Thursday, it's looking like cold. Daytime highs 9 below to 1 above, and evening lows 26 to 33 below zero.
Perfect. We receive support from Brainstorm Bakery, headquarters of Crapola, with four flavors of granola handcrafted at the bakery on East Sheridan Street in Ely. Online ordering available and more at brainstormbakery.com.
Coming up tomorrow on Headwaters, it's today. A conversation with Mary Lucia about her new memoir, What Doesn't Kill Me Makes Me Weirder and Harder to Relate To. Coming up on Headwaters today. You can hear it Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and 10 p.m.
We receive support from Klockau Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 8 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday from noon to 6. More info at KlockauBrewing.com. It is time to complete our talkbacks. And this morning we have one final talkback to relate, and that one comes from Justin Steffen's class at Linwood Elementary School. Funding for phenology talkbacks is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell.
Greetings from the fourth grade phenology team in the Linwood School Forest. This is Lydia,
Elizabeth,
and Brody.
Reporting on our observations from the week ending January 19th.
This week we observed that we lost much of our snow cover because of above freezing temperatures. The playground melted and refroze, making it very icy.
We also observed that our pagoda dogwood trees branches change color the farther away from the trunk they get. They start as brown, then change to red, and then yellow at the end.
We also saw it snow little frozen pellets on Thursday. It did not feel like regular snowflakes, but it felt like hard frozen balls. We wonder what is happening in the clouds to cause this.
In the forest, we saw a blue jay, what kept moving from tree to tree. As we got closer to it, we think it was telling us to go away.
That's all from the Linwood School Forest. And remember, there's no place like Linwood.
Thank you, Lydia, Elizabeth, and Brody. Nice report. A couple of interesting things there. Much of the snow cover lost because of above freezing temperatures. The playground melted and refroze, making it very icy. And that's been my experience around here as well. Things are pretty icy. Even though we get a little snow on top of it, it hasn't reduced the slipperiness underneath. And I love this next observation they made. We observed that our pagoda dogwood's tree branches change color the further away from the trunk they get. They start brown and then change to red and yellow at the ends. And it's just that sort of observation. It's, you know, usually you look at a tree and you go, well, it's got leaves or it's got flowers or it's, you know, but this time of year, if you take the time and look very carefully, you will see some pretty interesting things. And one of them is the change in the trunk color of the pagoda dogwoods. And they do change color from ground to the tip of the branch. Check out mountain maples. They do a similar thing. Red osier dogwood, round-leaf dogwood, the willows as you drive along, you'll see that the new growth on the willows is a different color than the rest of the plant. Quite colorful. This is a good time of year to start watching that. And one of the things you're going to notice is that as we get closer and closer to spring, as we get closer and closer to the actual bud break, which will occur in April, these branches are going to intensify in color. Think of it as, you know, like I used to relate it to the fact that my right hand, because I was a mailman and my right hand was always out the window putting mail in mailboxes, starting in February, my right hand would start to get very tan from the end of my cuff out to the ends of my fingers. And you'd take off your outfit to go swimming or to take a shower, and you'd notice that you'd have this one nicely tanned hand. It's the same for the plants, and they get very colorful. So take the time to observe. You won't be disappointed. They asked about the snowflakes that came down as little hard knobs. I think I looked at them here in the Grand Rapids area, and I described them as being something called graupel. And graupel is sort of an agglomeration of snowflakes that get beat together, and then because of the temperatures that they're subjected to and the rapid updraft and downdraft sort of things that happen to them, they all of the sharp points get broken off of these things, and they become these hard little pellets of snow that fall. So we can maybe talk to Tornado Bob and get a better description of graupel and perhaps of the physical events that took place in the clouds to produce that type of snow. But it fell here just like it did down in Linwood. We had the same sort of thing going on down up here as they did down there.
Yeah, and I just took a look. I didn't know where Linwood, since they say there's no place like Linwood.
Yeah.
Wyoming, Minnesota.
It's Wyoming, Minnesota, yep. Ah. Sort of north and east of the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
We heard from Susan from Cotton. She said 26 below on the white face in Cotton. Even our part Pyrenees wasn't dawdling. she says, at least there is no wind. And yes, John, there is such a thing as wind chill. That's someone who's been listening for a while. Thanks, Susan. Yeah. Good to hear from you. And John, in our earlier phenology reports, our student reports, I heard the words again that I love. And I remember it, especially from Harry Hutchins talking about sit spots.
Yeah.
And Charlie and I were talking on the Season Watch podcast that, you know, throw away the expectations of perfection for resolutions for the new year. But we're like, why not like a goal of like, I'm going to learn 5 new birds this year, or,
yeah,
you know, choose a sit spot would be a great thing.
Yep.
And yeah, check it out. See what's different each time you go there.
Yeah. Well, I have, and Harry did. Harry had Aldo Leopold benches.
Yeah.
And he had them strategically placed around his property up on Otter Lake. And they were delightful overlooks and a good place to stop and rest. And I have found over the years that those are just delightful. I have a few. I was out walking the other day and came across this spot where I had a tree had blown down, and I kind of was cutting it up, and I realized that, you know, this, it's lodged here. It's kind of stuck there. I'm just going to leave it. And it's a nice, smooth old pine log that I can sit down on and observe. And yeah, sitting quietly in the forest is always, always to your benefit. You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word DONATE to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Coming up Saturday, January 24th at 6:30 at Lammers Town Hall in Solway is the next Bemidji Contra Dance. All ages and abilities may dance to live acoustic music by 4 Mile Portage. Everything will be taught. The first hour is dedicated to young families, and there is a free will donation.
4 Mile Portage. That'll separate you.
Yes, it will.
You take a 4 Mile Portage, you're leaving behind about 99% of the people in the Boundary Waters. I remember we always had our trips always. At some point, we'd always have a portage that was over 100 rods. And some of them, I remember one was 164 rods. And that one was one of those that sort of left behind a lot of the people that wouldn't want to go that far, do that much work.
It's work.